Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, February 16th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye Jr. Joining me is the birthday boy, twitch.tv/ Andy Cortez. Yeah, happy birthday, Andy.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Oh, man. I have video games, man. I just say video games.
Video games? Oh, dude, it's that season, Andy.
You know, it's just video games, man. Yeah, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. 1 year older, 1 year wiser.
How does it feel to be old enough to drink?
It feels good. I'm excited. Yeah. I got some orders ready to try out. Long Island iced tea.
Oh, yes. I love the Long Island. Make sure to drink some water after you drink that, because that'll fuck you up.
Okay, we'll do.
Let me tell you, when I turned 21, my first drink, I think, was a Red's Apple Ale. And also, this is a joke, by the way. Andy's not 21, but now we're here. When I was 21, my first drink was a Red's Apple Ale. And I've never looked back, Andy. I've been drinking ciders ever since.
Nice, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Mine was a disaster. Mine was, it was one of those things where my friends all took me out to 6th Street in Austin to make me get the full experience. Oh. And my buddies they walked up to the bartender and like, hey, it's all like whispering. And suddenly on the microphone, everybody, we got a 21st birthday here in the house.
That's awesome.
And they took me up to the front of the bar. They made me put my head back, and they did a 10-second shot of Jaeger. They poured Jaeger into my mouth for 5 seconds until my mouth was full, and then I just swallowed everything that was in my mouth, and then another 5 seconds of Jaeger, and that started off the night. And then what do we get after that to kind of chill out, Bless? Some Long Island iced teas. I didn't know what the fuck was a Long Island. I didn't know what a Long Island iced tea was.
That's one of the ones where you're waking up the next morning and you're like, oh, no. Like, I should have woken up.
Oh, yeah. It was pure fear, Blessy, because I'll never forget, like, 10 in the morning the next morning, vomiting in the restroom, being like, I just wanted to stop. I just wanted to stop.
Like, I was busy scared. For no reason.
I was so scared. No. Yeah.
I think, Bless, I think 6th Street is where we partied.
Yeah, I was going to say, when Andy mentioned 6th Street in Austin, I'm like, that seems like a choice for your first time out. Definitely some
memories unlocked when Andy said that.
I say first time out, but like, were you drinking before 21? Somebody in chat asked, like, I mean, your first drink when you were 21 years old.
I had been drunk before, but I've never been a regular drinker. I've never been the type to, like, just want to drink alcohol for the fun of it. It's always like a social thing for me.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was very much a law-abiding citizen growing up, where I was a church kid.
I had the fear of God, Bless.
Yeah, I had the same thing. I literally had the fear of God, because I was a church kid, and so, like, I was a pretty obedient church kid. Like, I followed the rules, I followed the Ten Commandments. There's ten, right? The Ten Commandments. It's been a while.
They've updated them, yeah.
Oh, man, I always miss the updates, man.
Always have a Dash and Perry. Yeah.
Always have a Dash and Perry, exactly.
Thou shalt always.
And so for me, it was like, I think there was probably a couple of New Year's where I drank wine with the family, but that was about it for me with drinking. So when I turned 21, that's when I immediately became a rebel, and I started going hard on those Red Zappa Ales, and then I evolved into Long Island iced teas, and then I found whiskey. I've been up in the ante ever since. Andy. Wow. I'm trying to figure out what my next step is.
Oh, my God.
You know?
What's the next evolution?
I don't know, man. Maybe just drink vodka. Maybe I just drink cups of vodka. We'll see about that. But, Andy, enough about... Actually, how old are you? Are you okay?
I'm 34 years old.
Oh, 34 years old. What's the plan for the year? Do you have any 34, like, goals?
I want to continue trying to... here's the actual full goal. Mm-hmm. Something I've never committed to. It's something that I've always half-assed. And I want to have like a full voice acting reel of like 5 minutes of just clips of me like voicing over different games where there's no dialogue. It's just written out text. And then, that's what I kind of want to be able to do. And I would like to book another gig. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, Blizzard, if you're out there, put Andy in Overwatch, make him the next new Overwatch character. Let's make it happen. Everybody tweet at Blizzard.
Thank you.
At Overwatch Blizzard, or whatever the account is, tweet at them. Let them know that Andy needs a gig in the next Overwatch. But Andy, enough about that. Let's talk about today's stories, which include some more WNDs, aka weird Nintendo decisions, a new studio from The Witcher 3, or from some Witcher 3 devs, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us so we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, keep your eyes and ears locked to youtube.com/kindoffunny and the Screencast podcast feed, because we're recording our Uncharted movie review later today, and that'll go up as soon as it's ready. Andy, have you gotten the chance to see Uncharted, or do you have any interest in seeing Uncharted?
I had the opportunity to go last night and decided to pass. I was gonna be there with y'all last night. I was looking forward to it, Blessing, and you all know that for me, it's less about the movie and more about seeing friends and eating popcorn. And I decided last night I need to be a responsible dude and get to work. All right. It's review season, Blessing.
It's review season, Andy. That's a really good point. Queso here. You can smell it? What are you smelling?
Cinnamon.
Review season.
The great smell. Queso here in chat says, Bless, I invented a whiskey/cider cocktail that you should try. And let me tell you. That sounds pretty good.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, that sounds really delicious. Good. I might have to try that. Anyway, thank you to our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire, James Davis Mix, @JamesDavisMix. I should read it as it's written. Pranksy and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Upstart and Green Chef, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
Baker's Dozen.
Starting with our number one, Andy, let's start with a WND, aka a weird Nintendo decision. Nintendo is closing its 3DS and Wii U shops in 2023. I'm pulling from Luke Plunkett at Kotaku, who writes this. In a post titled Wii U and Nintendo 3DS eShop Discontinuation, Nintendo just announced that in March 2023, the online storefronts for both systems will be ceasing operations. But in a practical sense, the closures will begin a lot sooner than that. Quote, as of May 23rd, 2022, it will no longer be possible to use a credit card to add funds to an account in Nintendo eShop on Wii U or the Nintendo 3DS family of systems. And this is being pulled directly from the Nintendo website. Continues, as of August 29th, 2022, it'll no longer be possible to use the Nintendo eShop card to add funds to an account in Nintendo eShop on Wii U or the Nintendo 3DS family of systems. However, it'll still be possible to redeem download codes until late March 2023, end quote. In terms of people playing and enjoying the games they already own, Nintendo says, quote, even after late March 2023 and for the foreseeable future, it'll still be possible to re-download games and DLC, receive software updates, and enjoy online play on Wii U and the Nintendo 3DS family of systems, end quote. Back to Kotaku, all of this is expected stuff. The 3DS is 11 years old this year, and the Wii U is 10, so digital store closures were always going to happen sooner or later. What's shitty about these closures in particular, though, is that both shopfronts offered users the ability to purchase and then own many of Nintendo's greatest ever titles, something you're now largely unable to do ever since the company switched to a subscription model with Nintendo Switch Online. Andy, you're like me, where you're online, right? You're keeping up with the Twitter, you're keeping up with the discourse. Did you see the stuff break last night?
Yes, I did. I was watching our friend Reynar Vea's stream, and while all of this is kind of going down, immediately it's a bummer, right? I think we hope that they reverse course. I don't see that happening. I largely think that I am kind of surprised that people will still be able to download and receive software updates after, you know, around late March 2023. That's a kind of surprising part of this, but I am not very surprised that Nintendo is doing this. It kind of makes you worry even more about, you know, game preservation, right? That's always kind of the hot topic whenever something like this happens.
Yeah, I want to bring in, you mentioned them possibly not reversing it. I want to bring in a question from Nana Biologist, who writes in and says, hey, Blessing Andy. So Nintendo is shutting down its 3DS and Wii U services. This whole situation sounds oddly similar to something that was covered only months ago, the PlayStation Vita and the PS3. Do you think or hope that Nintendo changes its mind just like Sony did because of that backlash? We're dealing with one of the best-selling handhelds to ever exist, and a console that came and went with some stellar games on it. Finally, do you see yourself picking up a Wii U or a 3DS, even if they're going for at least $100 more than a Switch, just to be able to play those old games that Nintendo openly is shirking for the Nintendo Switch Online picks? Thanks, the nanobiologist. To the question that Nano's writing here, do you think or hope that Nintendo changes its mind? I hope so. I don't think so. You know, like, we're dealing with Nintendo here, and Nintendo is a company that very much rides to the beat of their own drum, right? They are, when you're talking about the way that Sony is often swayed by backlash and feedback from the audience, that happens with PlayStation. With Nintendo, I think that's less likely, just because Nintendo, I think, is way, it's way easier for them to get away with it. You know, like, people are going to complain about it, people are going to get mad at it, right. But I think Nintendo are the type to kind of, like, bide their time and wait for everything to blow over and then just go with it, because this falls into what I would say is their business plan, right? Which is to move everybody into the next ecosystem. It's not
about out a press release about putting a dude in jail for almost 4 years. Like,
yeah,
they very much ride to the beat of their own drum. Absolutely blessing.
Yeah, like, they're their own company. And so, like, I think for them shutting down these stores is them going, cool, we're going to be able to resell these games, which they've already been doing, especially with the Wii U. Like, I think out of this whole news, right, the Wii U stuff is the stuff that's, like, less of a bummer to me, specifically for the Wii U library, because pretty much all, if not most, of the notable library on Wii U has been ported to the Switch already. I think the bummer there is the fact that you had the Virtual Console on the on the Wii U, and you won't be able to buy those games. And I think that is what Luke Plunkett in his article is very much getting at when he's talking about the Nintendo Switch online service now, and how it's not about ownership, it is about subscription, and you are losing access to the ability to be able to buy these games piecemeal. And I think that's wild, and I think that is that comes down to the thing of games preservation and how that it is getting worse and worse, especially with Nintendo, right? Like, you look at Xbox, and Xbox is killing it with bringing games forward through backwards compatibility, adding in FPS boost, adding in Game Pass to it, right? Giving people options to be able to go back and own games that they loved as a child, or at the very least, letting those games not get lost to the ether. PlayStation is kind of, like, in the middle, right? Where it is, like, all right, you have some of these games. You have game streaming with the PS3. There is the rumored Project Spartacus, and that's probably going to bring forward a lot of games that haven't been available on these new platforms. Nintendo is very much the worst about it, and it sucks because they have the greatest legacy out of all these companies, right? You're talking about games that define the industry.
So much history.
Yeah. So much history. You're talking about Super Mario. You're talking about The Legend of Zelda. You're talking about Mario 64. You're talking about a lot of games that are industry defining, and having those lost to the ether because Nintendo decides that their business is more important. I think that sucks, and I think it's a bummer, and I think at the very least, at the very least, if they're going to do this, they shouldn't go so hard after people that then start pirating their old games. Like, that is, like, honestly my honest opinion, where, like, we just did the story, right, about them locking up people. They also did the thing where they went after the YouTube channel that would upload a bunch of great Nintendo soundtracks, right? And they caused them to have to take down their account. And that sucks because that music isn't available on Spotify or other streaming services, right? Like, the way that Nintendo
it's
handles
so
this
weird.
Baffles me. It is very weird.
It's so bizarre. It's almost as if they think that they're being insulted or they're being offended in a certain way, when it's really just a lot of this is out of love. Granted, some people are making money, and that's one thing, but I don't understand the angle at it, blessing, that they're going at it from. And especially when we talk about games preservation, I do expect to see more sales happening on eBay and on or through used avenues to get a hacked 3DS or a hacked Wii U or anything like that, so that people can actually play the older games on. It is kind of a bummer, and I almost wish that they took in the same way that they kind of really got super and hyper focused in on having the Pokemon Bank, where you can get any Pokemon and every Pokemon and everything, and it's kind of this one sort of unified area. They need to work on something like that for their old games. I don't understand why they're not kind of focusing on something like that, because there's a lot of money in there, I think, as well. Like, it's in terms of, like, people actually making a profit, these are missed opportunities that they're losing out on. And but also, you're not making any more fans by doing this. You're hurting the industry. You're hurting your own legacy.
Yeah, exactly. To the second part of Nano's question here, where Nano asks, like, do you see yourself picking up a Wii U or a 3DS to be able to play this old stuff? The answer for me is no. In the meantime, right? Like, I don't feel like I need a Wii U. I do have a Wii U sitting in my closet that is, I think, is Barrett's. Wii U that has CK64?
It's technically like Greg's, and then it turned into the office Wii U, and then I was using it a lot for Zelda and review, so it just stayed at our place for a while.
I mentioned I had never done a full playthrough of Wind Waker. Ugh. And Barrett was like, you can if you get Blessings Wii U, and I was like, that's a lot of steps for...
like, I mean, we can make this... I have to pick up a 3080 from your place. I'll drop off... I'll bring the Wii U. I'll just drop off the Wii U. We can do a nice trade.
Wow. That's a one-for-one trade.
Exactly.
Wii U for a 3080, yeah.
Don't want it, Andy, like, I will take the Wii U. Bless.
We can do a dead drop style, too. Like, we don't have to see each other. I'll drop it in your porch. I'll pick up the thing. We can make it, like, a drug deal.
Holy really shit, cool. Okay. Yeah. But we have to meet, like, several blocks drug away. Deal of all time. We put it in the mailbox.
So, like, some stranger walks by, sees it, picks it up, and now like we have to put a hit on them. Is that kind of thing? It's like, oh no, what have I done?
It's funny. It's actually funny you mentioned that. I was supposed to go get the 3080 Ti from Tim's house because you're getting my 3080, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go pick it up, Tim. I was like, actually, maybe. Like, can you maybe Uber to me? And I was like, that's a stupid suggestion. And the team was like, nah, man, that's fine. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Why did I? That's a stupid idea.
That's really funny, honestly.
I was working on Game of the Year graphics. Or not Game of the Year, our rating system graphics.
That would have been one of them ones where if I was the Uber driver and I see a man just like drop a 3080 into my car, I'd be like, do I just drive off with this? Like, do I discontinue my account and like just?
I was
like,
telling Tim, do you have an old bag you can just shove that in? Or
that's honestly like, there's no way they let that happen, right? There's no way they say yes because like that's.
I've done it before.
Where you've like delivered something through an Uber?
Oh yeah.
Like a brown bag.
Oh yeah. Do they?
I feel like that's a slippery slope to delivering drugs via Uber.
I've left a little note a couple times. And one time it was for my ex-girlfriend who was really sick and I had antibiotics. And I was like, hey, I'm going to Uber you some medicine. Okay. So just kind of like be waiting for this. And I walked out and told the Uber driver, I was like, hey, you're going to do this and that. Fucking stop at this block. Don't ask for Miguel. Okay. Cause then you're in some real trouble. You know? It was a little deal.
Have you seen the movie, what was it, 30 Minutes or Less?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It seems like that, where it's like, okay, you're a delivery driver, but we're going to make you deliver some drugs. And if you fail, well, we're after your ass. And this is what Kind of Funny does. But yeah, like, I mean, back to Nano's question, right, of getting a Wii U or a 3DS. I think for me, it's the thing of I have no immediate desire to want to jump through those hoops to play those games. But I do like having the options open. Right now, I am... You know, Blessing, who works for Kind of Funny, who is reviewing Horizon and like is going to review Elden Ring and is, you know, coming off of playing Dying Light. And I always have games to play and I do not have as much time to go back and revisit the games from my childhood that I love. But in a world where I wasn't doing this, I would easily see myself going back and playing games from my childhood, right? Like, I'll probably just go back and play the fucking, like, DK64 and Mario 64 and, like, Burnout 3 in my comfort food of games. And for that, like, yeah, I could see myself in the future getting a Wii U just to play those games. And having that option taken away is, for me, a bummer, right? And I know for so many people who are way more into it and way more active about it, a huge bummer because, yeah, you're losing out on the ability to buy these games piecemeal and feel like you have ownership over these things as opposed to having to pay for a subscription service where things can come and go. I think that's the scary part about it.
Oracle of Ages and Seasons are on virtual console. I forgot about that. Or they're on 3DS, rather.
Yeah, like Earthbound.
Maybe I do. Shit, console. Maybe I do this because I've been wanting to play Oracle of Ages and Seasons.
Yeah, Andy, it was funny. I saw that the news breaking last night. And the first thing I did was charge up my 2DS XL, bought Oracle of Ages and Seasons, bought Persona Q2 and something else. But I was like, ooh, yeah, these games that I'm not confident are coming to Switch anytime soon. I'm going to buy because they're like a couple bucks.
It's like buying toilet paper at the beginning of the pandemic. You're going to walk in every store, mad dash for 3DSs everywhere that we use.
Now, before we get into story number two, which has to do with another weird Nintendo decision, we have breaking news. This comes courtesy of Jeff Keighley on Twitter, who links to a Hollywood Reporter article. And they wrote a whole like question and answer article about The Last of Us interviewing the studio for the show. And one of the details to come out of that article is that The Last of Us TV show is not coming this year. The direct quote from the article is, "The Last of Us is shooting right now in Canada. We haven't announced an air date yet, but it's not 2022. They're still shooting in Calgary." And so sad news, you're not getting The Last of Us show this year, which I was very confident about. I thought we'd get it this year. And I think that's one of my predictions for Gamescast that just got slashed. And so thanks for killing my dreams, Jeff Keighley and Hollywood Reporter.
I was so confused by the sentence that I read in this article that I thought it said The Last of Us HBO show will now premiere in 2022. And I'm like, oh, that's next year because it's 2021 right now. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah,
what is...
no. You're waiting at least... I mean,
I have an aneurysm.
Yeah,
my God.
I feel that. Yeah, you're waiting at least a year for that Last Wish show. But hey, take your time. Make a masterpiece. Story number two, we got another weird Nintendo decision. Nintendo is forbidding Switch sports playtesters from sharing info on social media. This is Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. Nintendo has prohibited Switch Online users participating in this weekend's Switch Sports Online playtest from sharing any of their experiences on social media. The sign-up page for the playtest states that, quote, by downloading and participating in the Nintendo Switch Sports Online playtest, you agree not to publicly share any details from this online playtest, including on your social media channels, end quote. The playtest will feature tennis, bowling, and Shambara. Will be live from February 18th, 2022 until February 20th. 2022. In order to participate in the test, players must redeem a code from the My Nintendo store. In the description for the item under, quote, important, please read the following information. It states, quote, participants are forbidden from sharing information about the online playtest publicly, including the sharing of screenshots or video footage from the game on social media, end quote. After this surfaced, people were able to confirm that, yeah, if you're in the playtest and you try to use the share button, right, share a screen shower, share a video via your Switch, like the Switch feature, like built into the system,
it'll brick your Switch.
It'll brick your entire Switch. No, you'll get a pop-up saying no, you can't do this. And I think this is weird. This is different from like we're in early alpha and we want like a select group of players to come through so we can like test how this goes. This game is about to come out next month, I think, in a month and a half? And in the next 2 months is coming out. And it's a playtest, right? I feel like for that, you'd want the feedback. You want people to, like, be as vocal as possible so you can take in all that info, so you can polish the things you need to polish going into the release. I think it's a really weird decision, and honestly makes me not want to do the playtest.
So I'm of two minds on this. And I feel like Nintendo's going to be getting that feedback from these users anyway. There will be surveys going out. They will be filling out surveys and things of that nature. At first, I thought this meant that people playtesting the game QA will not be able to. And I'm like, well, duh, that's, you know, it's all embargoed stuff. Why would they do that? But it's very, very odd that Nintendo is having a public playtest for public players that don't have any sort of employment with Nintendo. Just saying, hey, everybody, we're going to have... It's basically a demo in a way.
Yeah, that was announced in Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, go play this game, but you will not be able to share it is very weird. For Nintendo to, first off, think that... To be that naive about it, that, like... But what if people still, you know, tweet about it and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to happen, right? Like, people are going to tweet about it regardless. I don't think it's something that you can really crack down on. I think that's honestly the weirdest part about it, is that now you're just making it messy for people who might be content creators or streamers that maybe wanted to talk about their experience playing this thing that won't be able to talk about their experience playing with this thing. This, I'm talking about me specifically. I wanted to be able to play this and talk about, like, oh shit, you know, fucking tennis was awesome, but now I can't do that, right, through the playtest. I'm sure plenty of people out there would have wanted to tweet out their impressions or talk to friends online or in forums about all this shit. And like, that stuff is still gonna happen, but it's gonna happen in a way where, like, it is discouraged by Nintendo, and I just find that weird. For a playtest that was advertised in a Nintendo Direct, in a playtest that is very public. Again, this isn't a private thing. This isn't a thing that they're hiding. This isn't, like, a behind-the-closed-doors kind of thing. It is a public playtest.
This isn't a Splatoon Splatfest sort of test week. For the week, I remember leading up to, I believe, Mario Tennis, they had something similar, where... you could play the demo online,
play
with people, and then the actual game came out. So this is very similar to that in terms of, you know, letting the public just kind of play and not having any barriers on who gets to get in, unless that was by invite or whatever. But it's very weird of them to do this and expect people not to talk. I wonder if they're like, hey, if y'all talk, we're bringing back the creators program, okay? And you're going to have to pay us money.
Is that not still here? I never heard the, what the ending was on the creators program.
They were like, it's a bad idea. What do we? That's way too much to manage. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got to assume sense. That from there, and it was like, this is way too much work for the amount of dollars we're getting back. You know.
Mm. I also just feel like it's a weird miss for a marketing beat. Like, you would want to have people talking about this, right, as they're playing it during the weekend, so that when the time comes where the game actually comes out, people get hyped. People are like, oh yeah, I've heard people talk all about how this is a return to the Wii Sports from my childhood. Let me, you know, jump into this now. Like, I think it's not egregious like the way I think Story Number One is a bit egregious for Nintendo. It's just very much the quintessential, like, weird. Like, why would you do it this way? Like, it's just a weird one.
It feels like the reason they don't want people, like, talking about it is because they're scared that, like, it's bad. But if they're scared that, it like, people think
why
it's going to be bad, why would they let people do that? Like, it's, like, this weird, like, they're confident about it, but maybe not too confident. Like, it's just, why? Why?
Yeah. Okay. It's Nintendo, right?
WNDs.
WNDs, Andy. WNDs. Let's jump in. To story number three, The Witcher 3 game director assembles a new startup studio. I'm pulling from Trilby Beresford at Hollywood Reporter. Game director Conrad, Andy, how would I say that last name?
Tomaskiewicz?
Tomaskiewicz. That's what I was thinking too. Conrad Tomaskiewicz, known for The Witcher 3, has assembled a team of fellow industry veterans to form a startup studio, Rebel Wolves. The studio aims to approach projects with a team-first mentality and will include developers from games including Cyberpunk 2077, Thronebreaker, and Shadow Warrior 2. Rebel Wolves' first AAA title of a planned saga will be a story-driven dark fantasy role-playing game for PCs and next-gen consoles directed by Tomaskiewicz, who served as the company's CEO. Quote, we want to evolve the CRPG genre by creating unforgettable stories and stirring deep emotions, all while working as a tightly knit team united by a shared goal and ambition, he said in a statement. The game will be written by narrative director Jakub Zamolek of Cyberpunk 2077 and Witcher 3 and built inside the Unreal 5 engine. I'm also going to pull in an excerpt from the gamesindustry.biz interview that they did with the studio where they say, quote, we're proud of the games we helped to create at CD Projekt, and we're deeply grateful for all the opportunities it has given us. CD Projekt worked with established IPs, and we wanted to create our own universe, tailor it to our needs and preferences. Also, we want to work on smaller games in a smaller team, where it's easier to maintain a coherent vision. We want to recreate the feeling of a pen and paper RPG session, where your options seem limitless, where the world reacts to your choices, where every decision matters, end quote. Andy, does that excite you?
How many times have we heard that, first off?
Which part?
Like, just the idea of where every decision matters. Everybody, like, I feel like
we heard that with Cyberpunk 2077.
We heard it with Dying Light 2 as well.
Yeah. Well, this is another one to add to the Shinobi tweet thread of AAA developers making their own studios. So we'll add one to that Shinobi602 on Twitter.
I love that you referenced that because that was actually what I was going to go into, because we have a question here from Connor, who writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, good morning, KFGD crew. How do you feel about the overall health of the video game industry? Even with consolidation fears, it seems like there's more announcements about new studios being formed with industry vets wanting to do their own thing. Do you feel there's a balance happening in the industry despite the massive acquisitions? Or are new studios like Rebel Wolf not enough? Andy, you referenced the Shinobi thread, which, to give context to what that is, of course, the homie on Twitter at Shinobi602, who puts out a lot of great tweets, right? He's one of them ones, like the Nibles, the Wario64s of the world, right? I put Shinobi in there. He's one of the folks that keeps us in the know. Shinobi put up a Twitter thread on February 7th, where he went through, he was talking about how there's been a lot of new indie AAA studios that have been put together in the last few years, and he made a thread of all the notable ones that he could find, right? And so you have That's No Moon, which was founded in 2021. That was the one that me and, if you're a daily KFGD listener, me and Tim talked about this
one. Scott Lowe, what up?
You know, Scott Lowe's over there. They might be working on a Star Wars game because of the name of the studio, right? There's Striking Distance. There's Gravity Well.
Hold on, really quick. Going back to That's No Moon, it's a Star Wars reference that Blessing didn't understand was a Star Wars reference.
Listen,
when they announced
how many Star Wars references can you expect the whole world to know? There's a billion.
That's
Star
No
Wars
Moon
references.
Is like literally like top five of like.
It's like that's like we're gonna need a bigger boat.
Luke,
it's
I am your father. Yeah, dude. Is above that.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Let's see here. What's another
Star Wars? That's no movie from the first, like the original movie. It's like one of like the most iconic.
There's a guy who's like traitor. There's a guy who's like traitor. That's another one. I put that above.
That's not in the top five. But
wait, where? Who? Were you talking about Force Awakens?
Yeah, he's talking about Force Awakens.
You're a traitor. You know that guy.
Wow. Because I mean, above that, I would put like they've gone up the ventilation shaft. Like I would put that quote above traitor.
There's the one where there's like, it was like, well, what's your last name? And she's like, Skywalker. You know, that's a big one. That's a big reference. That's a Star Wars. God, it's
huge, massive.
Let's see here. What's something Yoda? There's all the things where Yoda says, where he like says the last part of the sentence first. Yeah,
I feel like the entire... me by my size, do you? That's another classic.
The entire
do or not, there is no try.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I already say Luke, I am your father?
Yes.
You did, yeah. That was the first thing you said.
Okay. I'm just saying, I can't keep up with the entire Star Wars script, all right?
That was one of four.
Fucking nine movies.
And two of them
plus spinoffs. but yeah, you have that Snowman. You have Haven Studios, which we talked about all the time, especially on PS Love You. That's the Jade Raymond studio that's working with PlayStation. You have Deviation Games, founded in 2020, that is also working with PlayStation on a new IP. 31st Union, Archetype Entertainment, Cloud Chamber, Firewalk Studios, which you've heard us talk about in regard to PlayStation. We've talked about it a lot on PSLV, is basically the thing. Cauldron Studio, you know, you have a lot of different ones. And even as I'm scrolling through, right?
Gunzilla has the coolest fucking logo of all time.
Yeah, Barry, if you're able to pull up the Gunzilla logo. Holy shit. Oh, you're already doing it. Yeah, this logo is fucking sick.
That's fire.
And that one was founded by, yeah, of course, like people, former people from Ubisoft, EA, WB, Cloud Imperium, and others. You have Embark Studios that is making Arc Raiders. That was announced at the Game Awards. And the list goes on. And this is another one that you're adding on to the list of these new AAA indie developers that are leaving these bigger studios to start to do their own thing. Andy, to take it back to Connor's question here, right? Like, what does this do for your view of the health of the video games industry right now? Is this something that gives you fear or something that gives you hope?
I feel like I think it's a byproduct of some of the unhealthiness in the video game industry. I think it's part that, and I think it's also part people wanting to go do their own thing, who have maybe felt the pressures from executives up top that maybe their voices aren't being heard enough. Maybe they've always had this idea in their head to go do something else. Maybe they don't want to be constricted by publishers and things of that nature. Whenever this does happen, though, a bit of me always tends to worry anyway, because I feel like the last time that this happened, where it was former Halo devs going to go make Disintegration, and that game was a flop, and I didn't love it, and I played about 5 hours of it, I was like, this is budget wise, this is certainly lacking. And I think the best case scenarios for these smaller studios to hopefully get a lot of funding and make a lot of money so that they can put the resources into their game, because sure, you've got the name, you've got the know, you have the knowledge to make a AAA game. You know what it takes, you know what teams you need, but do you have the money? It's always a thing that kind of worries me in terms of the quality of the end product, you know, especially when you're trying to go for something like they're doing, which is this really big RPG action, every decision matters. Like, whenever I hear that, that kind of always scares me, especially when it's a small studio.
Yeah, I want to pull in a chat here from Ron here, who says, "I'll make you an offer you can't refuse, Yoda." And I'm saying there's a lot of Star Wars quotes, you know, that are Christ, that you put I put above that.
Who
I'm
was
saying,
that? Who was that?
That said the quote or that made the chat? It was Ron Q21 in chat.
Ron Q. Okay.
Are you about to time them out? Is that
to my little friend? Say hello.
But yeah, When I see these new studios popping up, it brings me back to the conversation we had on Gamescast, where it was right after the Activision Blizzard acquisition. And it was Greg who was the one who that made the argument that, like, you're seeing these big AAA publishers fall under and get acquired for a reason. And that's because, like, they're becoming too beholden to their financial stakes, right? Where it is, yeah, Activision Blizzard is only making Call of Duty. All the dope ass studios that were making great projects, right, are becoming Call of Duty support studios. You're seeing Ubisoft struggle with their identity right now, I'd say, where it is them trying to figure out what free to play looks like for them and figure out like what even big new Ubisoft titles looks like for them.
When do we drop Roller Champions, for example?
Yeah, like, when are we going to drop Roller Champions? When is Beyond Good and Evil 2 coming out? Where the fuck is X Defiant? Where is Division of Heartland, right? The list goes on in terms of what the fuck happened to Hyperscape? Like, the list goes on with Ubisoft in terms of, like, the projects that have been announced or the projects that did come out and then just fell away super quickly. And I think that is them trying to struggle a little bit with what their identity is as this big AAA publisher. And even EA, which I think financially EA is probably doing fine, but you've seen EA struggle with audience reception as they've microtransactioned the hell out of games in the past. And you saw what happened to Battlefront 2. And you see the conversation around FIFA and Ultimate Team and all these things, right? These big AAA publishers, I think, are struggling a little bit to figure out what the space looks like as video games continue to evolve and get bigger and get more expensive and live service games become more profitable and all these things. I think with that, seeing these independent studios come up kind of from the ashes of the people who are falling away from these big studios and wanting to do their own creative inspired things, I think that is a good thing. I think that is more exciting for the video games industry kind of solving its own issues and seeing people that are like, cool, we'll do the Thanos thing and we'll do it ourselves and create the games that we want to create and then get partnered with a PlayStation like Deviation or Haven, or maybe get partnered with Xbox to put something out on Game Pass, or like partner with Epic Games to put out Epic Games games, right? Like,
yeah,
you're seeing a lot of that happen. And I think that's a good thing, especially when it's not in the form of like pure acquisition across the board. Because I think that would be the scenario where it's like, oh, damn, okay, this is really only three companies making games now, right? Like, the fact that a lot of these things are happening in the form of partnerships and then also in the form of companies being able to put this stuff out on their own, I think it is exciting, and I think it will lead to more creativity and more more passion projects being made and getting funded. And to your point, Andy, a lot of these things are going to fail. Like, all these things aren't going to hit. You're going to have a lot of disintegrations. But I think with that, you should, I hope to see a lot of successes as well.
I think when studios do come out with news like this, especially these newly formed studios, you always kind of want to make the biggest splash and talk about how your next game is going to be the next Witcher or the next whatever. It's going to be gigantic and massive. But in order to have a level of sustainability, you have to make enough money in order to cover the costs of what it costs to make a game that big, right? So I think, like, yeah, the thing that in an ideal world, I would hope that these studios were trying to make small 6-hour experiences of gaming that are like full of substance and like, holy shit, that was a great experience. It's not a game that's trying to be 25 hours with not a whole lot of content. Maybe it looks barren. Maybe it's just not, you know, maybe it doesn't have the budget that we were hoping that it would have. And because what I foresee happening, like you were mentioning, that there will be some games that will fail in a lot of these announcements, is like, we will see an eventual retreat in 5 years where the game is made, the game flops. Who am I going back to? Am I going back to Bungie? Am I going back to Activision or the other four studios that exist? You know,
see, that's the scary thing, especially when you're doing it by yourself. And I think the hope there, and that is why you're seeing a lot of partnerships and a lot of like, hey, Xbox, let us put this game out on Game Pass and you just fund our development, right? Because there does come big risk and going off alone and creating your games yourselves. But yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of big developers or big studios, quote unquote, right? Like big indie studios, I should say, try things out and quite a few of them fail. And then, yeah, have that exact thing happen where it's like, ah, shit. All right. Well, I guess we're done here. Right. Like this thing wasn't a hit and we're not going to get a second chance because we don't have the money to like have a second chance. So we tried and we failed. And yeah, I think the thing is you hope for more successes. I also do want to shout out this chat from Casino Bala, who gives you another great Star Wars quote. Say what again by Mace Windu. I think that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Hey, say what again by Mace Windu.
That's a good one.
Fantastic quote from Star Wars. Andy, you know where people can go to get that good content? Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go there. Of course, get our Patreon exclusive shows. Like what, Barrett?
The Next Gen Podcast.
Like the Next Gen Podcast. You can also go to Write In With Your Questions, just like we've heard people do already. You can also go there to get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Think of all the things you could do and all the places you could go if you didn't have high interest loans or credit card debt. Upstart helps make those dreams a reality by helping you pay off your existing debt quickly with a personal loan. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether you're paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score and is expanding access to affordable credit. Unlike other lenders, Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. With a 5-minute rate check, you can see your rate up front for your loans between $1,000 and $50,000 and receive your funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. Green Chef is the greenest way to get your greens. It's the most sustainable meal kit out there, offsetting 100% of their plastic packaging in every box and 100% of their carbon footprint and emissions. Their pre-portioned ingredients mean you reduce your food waste by at least 25% compared to boring old grocery shopping. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well, with options for every lifestyle like keto and paleo, vegan, vegetarian, fast and fit, Mediterranean, and gluten-free. I'm Greg Miller, and I use Green Chef. They just sent me a box the other day. We had these Greek pitas. They were delicious. You cut them in half, then you put all the delicious stuff in there. Came in a brown bag. You open up the brown bag, take out all these other brown bags, then you recycle it all, then you eat this delicious food. It's great. Why wouldn't you do this? Go to greenchef.com/kindoffunny130 and use the code kindoffunny130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. That's greenchef.com/kindoffunny130 and code kindoffunny130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
Now, Blessing, the line from Sam Jackson that you just mentioned, that's from that black director Quentin Tarantino, right?
Oh, how fucking dare you, Andy? How dare you bring up my past? Oh, man. Oh, I don't know how to recover from that. I was going to make another joke, and you came through before I could make it. Now I can't even make this next joke. I'll make it anyway. Those folks funny in chat gave me one of my favorite Star Wars quotes here, which is, "Life is like a box of chocolates," from Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, there it is.
One of my favorite ones. It's one of my favorite ones. How funny did you bring that up?
Fuck.
In front of the world, too. Yeah, 1,500 viewers on Twitch.
I mean, Bless, you admitted in front of the world that you thought Quentin Tarantino was black, so.
It was on a Patreon-exclusive episode of the Next Gen podcast. The world wasn't supposed to know, but Emmett fucking Watkins Jr. decided to expose me. God damn it. Well, speaking of classic films, story number 4, a third Sonic movie is on the way, and a Knuckles spinoff series. This is Austin Gosselin at Polygon. Sonic 2 is set to come out this April, and the tiny blue hedgehog is already speeding toward a sequel. Paramount announced on Tuesday that Sonic 3 is already in development, along with a Paramount Plus series centered around Knuckles that will star Idris Elba. Sonic 2 is already set to expand the world of the movie franchise, bringing in Tails and Knuckles from the video games. Of course, Sonic himself will also return, along with Jim Carrey's evil Dr. Robotnik and James Marsden's Tom, which, like, I don't...
classic Sonic character, Tom.
James Marsden's Tom is just funny to read like that, but then also, I didn't realize that James Marsden was returning in this movie. I thought it was just going to be Sonic and Eggman.
Oh, no, he's right there, man.
He's right there.
I've been trying to be a little like radio silent on the trailers, but goddamn, was a spaceship? Holy shit, this trailer is looking kind of fire.
This trailer goes hard, I think. Like, I think this one certainly brings in a lot more of the actual video game elements, and it's pretty cool, honestly.
This looks dope as hell. With the sequel still several months away, it's hard to say what part 3 of Sonic's live action adventures might include. Also on the way in the Sonic universe is a new series all about Knuckles the Echidna, which will stream on Paramount Plus. Once again, Paramount didn't get into any details of the series, but we do know that Idris Elba, who voices Knuckles in Sonic 2, will be back for the series. The series is set to launch in 2023. I'm excited about this. I'm more excited about the idea of what the implications of a Knuckles series means, because if they can do a Knuckles series, that means they can do a Shadow the Hedgehog spinoff, either movie or series. I'll take either, Andy. Shadow the Hedgehog.
It's kind of wild because I don't really know how you can have a Sonic show completely centered around Idris Elba as Knuckles. Like, it seems to me like you've got to have Tails in there as some sort of levity, as some sort of you know, positivity and lightheartedness.
Because otherwise, you think Knuckles is gonna be like gruff and like, you know,
are we
hardcore?
Just gonna get like Daredevil the show?
Like is it gonna? You think it's gonna be Luther, but with fucking cartoon animals?
It's really weird, right? Because like I think Knuckles play it is kind of the perfect secondary character in a movie like Sonic, where you have somebody so lighthearted and joyful as Sonic and Tails, and then you get the gruff kind of gritty asshole in Knuckles, and that kind of, you know, it's like giving
Boba Fett compliment. His own show, you know?
It's like giving Vegeta his own show, where, like, Vegeta is one of the best characters in Dragon Ball Z, right? But, like, I don't know what a Vegeta show looks like if he's not there with Goku and Krillin.
Right. Think about it.
Krillin being Tails.
Think about Shadow coming out at one point. He's just got this big-ass gun.
Fighting for Second Amendment rights.
Like, I can already see it, right? In the way that the Sonic the Hedgehog movie was Sonic the Hedgehog and James Marsden's Tom. How it was a buddy cop, right? A nice, fun buddy cop movie. I want Shadow the Hedgehog movie to be like that, but dark, right? Like that, but serious, where it's not a comedy anymore. It is
bounty
gritty. It is bloody. It is Shadow the Hedgehog, and he's teamed up with his buddy, who is Mahershala Ali. You know, I want that level.
Dude, yeah, are you like a true detective where it's like... Yeah. There's some bad crimes going on. There's a murderer on the loose. We cannot, not only can we not figure out the case, we can't figure out ourselves right now, okay? And there's lots of hard drugs. Oh, yeah. Put this shit on HBO,
They
man.
Say bad words.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, they cussed in a Shadow the Hedgehog video game.
Oh, right, did chat? They?
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I'm pretty sure they cussed. That game was rated T.
There was nudity, yeah.
Hey, they had titties in that. I want to bring in this question, again, patreon.com, just kind of funny games, from Bander SN, who writes in and says, "Hey, KFGD crew, yesterday Paramount announced that a third Sonic movie is officially in the works alongside a Knuckles spinoff show. This on top of the second movie, the Sonic Prime TV series, the Sonic Origins and Frontier games, and the ongoing comics makes this a massive year for the Blue Blur. Is 2022 the year of Sonic, but more importantly, is 2022 finally the year of good Sonic? Also, happy birthday, Andy."
Thank you, Bander. I mean, Bless, this is more of a question for you, because I don't know. I've never believed that there's ever been a good Sonic. This is a question for you.
Wow. You don't believe there's ever been? Have you played Sonic Mania?
I just can't.
It's the only good Sonic game.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
there's also Sonic 2 and then Sonic 3 and Sonic 1, honestly.
But you know how there's people out there that don't think Breath of the Wild is a good game? Like, that's how I feel about Sonic Mania. Not putting them on the same level, but it's more of a matter of taste and preference. And I hate running fast and then hitting the thing and all my momentum's gone. It just feels like shit. Like, I hate that part of Sonic. Now, granted, I will say this. On GameCube, I fucking loved me some Sonic Adventures.
Yeah,
like,
you did.
I was making OCs. I actually brought back, when I went back home for Christmas recently, I brought back, or not, I didn't bring back, but I took a lot of photos of old art that I was drawing in middle school. So many Sonic drawings. Holy shit. Different. Yeah, it's just really, really cool shit. I was a massive Sonic fan, the IP, but playing the games, I've just never really liked it the way they've ever felt.
I mean, Andy, I feel like there would be a lot of Sonic fans that totally understand where you're coming from, because, like, I think Sonic fans... For a lot of it, it is about the IP, and it is about the nostalgia, and like, it's not just the Sonic video game, right? It's the Sonic TV show. Now it's the Sonic movie. It's the Sonic, like, it's having a Sega Genesis and having Sonic being the game that you played over and over and over again when you're 6 years old, and then getting a Dreamcast and then playing Sonic in 3D for the first time and having that experience. Where you go back to Sonic Adventure now, game does not age well, right? The game does not hold up to play, but it is about the memories, it is about the experience, and it is about...
Plus, it's also about Sonic 2006, which is what we have up on screen right now, you know? Classic Sonic,
you know what?
I've actually
never played Sonic 06. I've watched the YouTube videos, I know what it is, and I know it's terrible. I kind of want to play it sometime. Because I feel like, as a Sonic fan, this might be my rite of passage that I'm missing out on. Right?
It's always appointment viewing whenever Game Grumps would do some sort of Sonic playthrough. Yeah. I will say, though, somewhere there's a multiverse out there where Sonic and Mario's, their roles are switched, where Sonic had the Mario gameplay and Mario had the Sonic gameplay. And Sonic is the biggest thing on the planet. Not only does it feel and play immaculately, but it has all of the IP that is just dope as hell.
Yeah, like Sonic Kart, Sonic Party, Smash Sonic Brawl.
We have the True Detective show with Mahershala Ali. Like, it's just all over the place, man.
to Bander's question of like, is this the year of Sonic? Is this finally the year of good Sonic? One, go back to the year that Sonic Mania came out, which I think might have been 2017, maybe 2018. That was a pretty good year of Sonic. I know Sonic Forces wasn't people's cup of tea, but that was like a strong 7, maybe 6.5.
Yeah, that was 2017, bless.
2017. Sonic Forces was like a fair decent. Like when I first started playing that game, I was like, oh no, this is gonna be bad. And by the time I finished it, I was like, all right, it wasn't terrible, but also it didn't live up to the heights of something like Sonic Generations. I think to have an amazing Sonic year, I think you do need a 2D Sonic in there. That is the only thing that I'd say is holding this year back, is the fact that there's not a Sonic Mania 2. That said, right, like I'm excited for the Sonic movie. I'm excited for Sonic Frontiers. I think, or at least I hope, that that's going to be a good Sonic game. And from what we've seen from the trailer and what we've seen from people describing it, I think there's a lot of faith that I have that like maybe they figured out the game design for this one, where it is more along the lines of something like Solar Ash or something like The Pathless, where it's open environments, solving platforming puzzles. You're using speed to like get momentum and then like, you know, solve these puzzles that way. That's what I really want, and that's what I think would make a good Sonic game, right? Just make it Solar Ash. And that's what Sonic Frontiers kind of looks like to me. And so if it's that, I think it's going to be good, and I think people will be surprised by it. But I think between that and the movie, I think it's poised to be a very good Sonic year. And the Sonic Prime TV series, which isn't necessarily going to be for me, but in the way that like Sonic Boom, the TV show on Cartoon Network, came out and people were pleasantly surprised by it and enjoyed that, I expect that Sonic Prime could hit that similar note, where it comes out, people are like, oh shit, this is surprisingly well written, and this has some surprisingly good jokes, and you have a certain group of people that come to love it.
When you say Prime, are we talking like Amazon Prime TV?
No, Sonic Prime is the name of the series. I think it might be a Netflix thing. Kindoffunny.com, gotcha. Says you're wrong.
Bless, what size shirt are you?
I'm a medium? Size small.
Okay, maybe get this shirt hand. I got this shirt from the Yeti. The Yeti, they send me like a bunch of stuff. I think it's a really cool design.
Oh, that's hot.
That is hot.
Oh, that's fucking sick. Did that come out with Sonic Mania? When did you get that?
I don't know. They just they sent me a bunch of stuff, and that was one of the shirts that they sent me.
Hell yeah.
But like when Barrett is showing that 2D animation that goes along with the Sonic Mania stuff during that whole sort of hype up train,
I wanted just like a movie of this.
Like this is the coolest shit ever. Like I immensely fuck with this blessing. Like when I see 2D art like that, in the same way that I really, really fuck with 2D, pixel art, Mega Man stuff, like all of those things are my vibe. And I just love the aesthetic of all of this.
Yeah.
And I wish it meant more to me, you know?
I feel that. Well, Andy, one day. Maybe by the end of this year, because this could be the year of Sonic.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see. Let's round out the Roper Report with story number 5. There's a new Dying Light 2 patch that fixes the death loop bug and adds a backup save system. This is Tom Ivan at VGC. Techland has released a new Dying Light 2 update for PC, which reportedly fixes a bug that has been causing players to get stuck in an infinite death loop, which, if you remember, if you listen to our review, I got this bug and I got stuck in an infinite death loop and lost my save on PlayStation. The bug, which is yet to be fixed on consoles, occurs when a player dies during a quest within a restricted area and gets respawned elsewhere on the map without enough time.
Great job, Blunt. Great job, Bear.
Wait, what Bear bring up? I'm not seeing the screen.
Bringing up just death loop.
Oh, that was good. That was good. I wasn't expecting that. Elsewhere on the map without enough time to get back to the previous mission area. Techland said Wednesday's update prevents new cases occurring and fixes existing ones. It also introduces a new backup save system and adds support for the block, active landing, and jump attack keyboard rebindings. Quote, backup save system is an in-game feature that allows you to load a save based on the previous main storyline progress, Techland explained. Andy, this is one that I thought already got patched out. I am surprised that the game shipped with this bug in there, because this bug legit caused me like a couple of days of like feeling bad, feeling sick. Like I was like, dude, I fucking love this game, and now I can't continue to play this game. And
maybe it was you who kind of brought it to light, the Dying Light. Bless.
It was definitely reviewers, right? Like it was definitely, I think it was me, and then I saw a few other folks on Twitter who were playing the game in the review process. I think Mitchell Salson from IGN would have been another one that got the same bug. And in emails, like I believe Techland did say that, like, oh yeah, we'll have this bug fixed in these next few updates before the launch. And maybe it's a different Deathloop bug. Maybe it's just a similar one, but in a different place. But for me, when I got this bug, the big bummer for me wasn't even the bug itself. It was more so the fact that the game didn't have a backup save system there was only one save if you were playing on console. And so when I got the bug, I was fucked. I couldn't just reload two saves earlier because the game only has autosave and it only autosave for one slot. And like that for me is a big omission in the game. I don't understand as a big open world action RPG-ish sort of game why you wouldn't have that, where this is such a common thing where people get into some kind of save bug where they lose their save with a game that has glitches, with a game that has so many things that can go wrong because it's open world and there's so many different routes and things you can do. The fact that they didn't have that already, I thought was a huge omission. And so good thing that they're getting it back in there, but surprises me that it wasn't in there before launch.
It kind of reminds me of a couple of the comments that we had during the Horizon Games cast where some people said, should you really be commenting so much on bugs if you're not on the day one patch? And I don't know if that person kept on listening. I don't know if the person kept on listening, but I had played about 80% of Horizon on the day one patch and still had all the bugs that I had. But that's the thing, is like, you can't guarantee that these bugs will be gone just because they tell you a day one patch is coming, you know? So like, that's something you always have to keep in mind, that yes, I'm having this issue. There's a day one patch coming. I don't know if that addresses it. So these are the problems that I had.
Yes, and that is 100% it, right? I think the most bit that we can do as people who are reviewing and people that are content creators is be as transparent and clear as possible and saying, hey, yeah, there seems to be another patch coming up. This is the things that they say they will fix, but these are the things that I experienced. Because for me, I'll never forget reviewing Cyberpunk and how, if you remember, the big news story that was going around with Cyberpunk leading into release is that there was a day one patch that was like 50 gigabytes huge. That was going to fix so many of the bugs. That was going to fix so many of the issues. And for me playing that game on PC before that patch, I had a buggy as hell experience. And I had to somewhat trust in the fact that, like, they say there's this 50 gigabyte huge patch that's going to fix all these things. But I can't trust that completely, right? Like, I still have to talk about my issues. I still have to talk about my experience playing the game. And in our Cyberpunk review, like, we spent a good portion of that review talking about the bugs I ran into, because I made a whole list. I have a document filled with every single bug that I ran into while playing Cyberpunk 2077. And I'm so glad that we ended up doing that, because it turns out the game came out and it was still buggy as hell. And so, like, if this is kind of a peek behind the curtain kind of thing for people that are listening, right? Like, when you're listening to our reviews and we're talking about bugs and we're talking about a day one patch coming up, we still got to be clear about those bugs, because that shit can still exist. That shit can still persist. And I thought this Deathloop bug was dealt with, and seems like it's not. And so,
great news from Shay Braven, though, says, good news. Playing Cyberpunk last night, Jackie pulled a chip out of his head, not his gun. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Love
that.
That
was a big laugh from me. That was one of those, like, oh man, I'm really feeling this emotional moment, and you're pulling a gun out of your head.
I did. I played a little bit of Cyberpunk last night. I booted it back up on PS5 just to see how it looks and runs. Seems like it runs pretty good on PS5. Like, it's pretty smooth. And I forgot how much I loved the art style of that game. Like, dude, the scenery is so good.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I booted it up on not only the Series X, but back on PC, because the PC, PC always kind of had the next gen update, but a lot of things have been fixed performance wise and just overall visuals wise. Cyberpunk's a game that I was listening to Greg talk about it yesterday with Witta, and Greg is like, yes, I platinumed it. I like the game a lot, but I didn't love it. I don't think it did anything incredibly special. I really enjoyed my time with Cyberpunk, but I played it on PC and I had the best possible experience. And yeah, it is still stunning to look at. Like, holy shit, the things it does with lighting and just visuals, and
dude,
when
especially
a character
for an
is talking
RPG
right at your face, and it's like god you look real. Like,
when I this time around I started with the Corporal path, and when you, there's a certain moment in that path where you meet Jackie at the bar for the first time, and you're hanging out with him and like talking to him, and it feeling like this natural, like, oh yeah, we're chilling at the bar talking, and then you look to your left and you see a group of people walk into the restaurant, and it feels so, like, in the moment, almost like a movie scene where, you know, it's not the Bethesda Fallout thing of like fix your character to like the face of the character you're talking to, and it's like when you're in a conversation, it's one-on-one, mano a mano. It's so natural in Cyberpunk. It's fucking sick. I think there are a few things that game does that are special, and for me it is the art design, it is like the atmosphere, it is the like those cool moments of like dialogue and that shit happening so naturally in world building. But like, there's so many other things that the game could still do better. And I wonder, and I hope that stuff comes through updates and DLC, DLC drops, because I think it's inevitable that we see a DLC drop soon for Cyberpunk. I would give it maybe a few months before we see like a big DLC drop.
Yeah, I mean, I think in that video, they showed a couple missions that, or they showed a mission that was not part of the original game, I don't think. I think possibly hinting towards more content and stuff like that. But yeah, that game is full of side quests that kind of will leave your jaw dropped by the end of it. Just like, holy shit, that is a cool thing to do story-wise. And yeah, I definitely did not regret any of my time with Cyberpunk.
Well, Andy, when I was reading out Patreon producers during the rigmarole, I left out one Patreon producer because I wanted to save their shout out for this special moment. Because, Andy, I know it's your birthday today. It is also Manny Bagel Boy Sanchez's birthday. And I want to wish Manny Bagel Boy Sanchez a happy 30th birthday. And Manny Bagel Boy Sanchez seems to also be expecting a child in late July. But, Andy, July is just so far away. Yeah, congratulations. July is so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Drop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts, each and every weekday.
Yeah. Andy, what was the inspiration for that one?
Just NPC, Bloodborne NPC. You walk by and say, "Oh, yeah, I didn't notice that treasure you had there."
See, I got like Australian, like almost like Voss from Far Cry 3, like villain kind of
gotcha,
vibes.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm gonna cut you up kind of thing, you know. Out today, we got Beat Souls for Switch, Tax Fugitive for Switch, Spellmaster the Saga. Tax Fugitive. No, it's exactly what I read. Tax Fugitive for Switch, Spellmaster the Saga for PC, and the No Man's Sky's Sentinel update, which adds robotic companions. I originally read that as romantic companions, but no, it's robotic companions, and new enemies and combat behaviors, overhauled weapon systems, new lore slash stories, and the ability to program your own AI drone plus more is out today. We got new days for you. 35mm will be available March 2nd on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. And then A Musical Story, which I know I'm excited about, I think Greg's excited about, and quite a few people here looking forward to.
Oh, wow. That's been a while since we've heard
from that
one. Yeah. I think it was like an E3 joint last year.
Yeah. And it like kind of, it had like that demo out on Steam for a while.
It was the cool like rhythm game with
I'll
art style.
Trailer.
Yeah, bring up a trailer, Barrett, because, yeah, people should know about Musical Story. It's coming out on March 2nd for PS4 and PS5, March 3rd on Nintendo, and then March 4th for Xbox, PC, and mobile. So very soon. It's around the corner. Here we go. Barrett's brought up the trailer for it. Again, really cool art style. Let's see. It has, like, some kind of, like, a jazzy kind of style to it. Yeah. And the music. I'm, like, waiting for it to get into gameplay.
Yeah, it's definitely like Hendrix and like kind of psychedelic rock inspired.
I love the way the keyboards look so much like Geddy Lee from Rush. Got that kind of pointy nose, tall head, long hair, glasses. Yeah. I love the art style.
Yeah,
art
so cool. It's essentially the premise is you're this rocker who is kind of. They're in a hospital and they're trying to like remember like what got them to that point. So you're reliving moments in their lives, and kind of how you unlock these memories is going through and hold on, let me pull it up here. Where was it? You have these like circle things where you have to like kind of hit instruments at like the correct beat and stuff like that. And then once you do it correctly, it like unlocks like a moment in their lives and stuff like that. So that's kind of like the very basic premise of what you're doing here.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong rewrite and let's know what we got wrong as you got it wrong so you can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Nana writes in and says, for reference, Wii U's and new 3DS XLs are going for almost $400 starting price. Yeah, on Amazon. These are refurbished products.
You know what? I'm going to steal mine back from my nephew. That little motherfucker doesn't play it anymore. I'm taking it back.
Hell yeah.
I'm taking
steal from
back.
The children, Andy.
Yeah.
It's the least you can do on your birthday. Timmy Buddy here writes in and says, as far as Nintendo not wanting anyone to talk about the game at all, Ubisoft does this as well with their playtests. When they did the X Defiant one, the first thing you saw when the game loaded was a screen that said no posting, no screenshots, and no recording of this game. I do want to point out, though, Timmy Buddy, is this Switch Sports playtest, I would say, is very different from this X Defiant thing, because this game's about to come out in a month. And it's a public playtest, whereas the X Defiant one was very much like, closed.
Will this game come out?
Yeah, will this game even come out, you know, kind of thing. And X Defiant is not anywhere on the horizon as far as I can tell. I say that, and then tomorrow they're gonna announce that it's coming out next week or some shit. Let's see here. Nano says that Shadow the Hedgehog says damn and damn it in Shadow the Hedgehog, the video game. It received an E10 plus rating from the ESRB for its mild use of profanity and fantasy action violence.
That's like sadly, Raphael in Ninja Turtles movie when he's like, damn! Remember that part? Good movie.
I didn't watch the movie. You're talking about the new ones, right?
No, it was like the first ones.
Oh, really? I saw the only one I saw was Vanilla Ice one. Was that Secret of the Ooze?
That's part two. Secret of the Ooze, yeah.
Go, Ninja, go.
The first one has some really dark moments where it's like, man, this movie's going places. And then I watched it as an adult. I was like, man, this movie's kind of rough. Damn, this movie was a lot cooler than I thought it was.
Mm. Bander here says, this is a year right, actually.
Wait, wouldn't it be this movie was less cooler than I thought it was?
Damn.
Bander says, yes, Sonic Prime is a Netflix show. I can switch that, just skip that. There's some additional context, which I appreciate, but it's not necessarily you're wrong.
Man, like, if we're getting a Bioshock thing on Netflix, I want Zelda as an animated show badly.
Dude, yeah, give it to
it's
me.
It's literally just Twilight Princess just Samurai Jack and the formula of, like, what they do in that show and just, like, Zelda paint on it, you know?
I want Metroid as an animated show.
Give me every Nintendo. Like, we did a whole episode, actually, of the Next Gen podcast pitching what the Super Smash Brothers cinematic universe would look like, where it is, like, fucking, you start with the Mario movie, you get, like, a Zelda movie, or, like, and all of it be animated, right? But it is them, like, playing around with, like, fucking, like, the Zelda animation is all about, like, the concept of time and how, like, time travel and shit applies to Zelda. But then you, like, Metroid and, like, fucking Star Fox and shit is all about space. But then, like, the Super Smash Brothers movie is, like, this meeting of space-time, you know?
They're the Guardians of the Galaxy kind of, like...
Yeah, character. Like, make fucking Samus, Star Fox, and, like, Captain Falcon basically the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Damn.
Damn. Think about how cool that would be. Give it to me one more time, Andy.
Damn!
That was very good.
Something like that.
And that's about it. ALWT Gaming gives us a compliment, and thank you so much for that. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Tomorrow's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Daily are Tim and Timur Hussein from GameSpot. That's a Tim TM Thursday, so get excited for that. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now after this, is Mike and Barrett playing the original God of War, which is really exciting. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember this. Has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.